We'll be back in Joshua again this morning, and in our Sunday school been looking at what does faith look like. I'm looking at it this morning. You make an effort to come out to worship, honor the Lord. Last time we got down to chapter number 7 in Joshua, chapter 7, where it talks about the sin of Ai, or the sin of Achan. I was looking at the maps earlier. If you got a Bible map, it might shed more light on you if you look at it. On the Bible maps, if you're, let's say this church covenant picture here is the nation of Israel. Up at the very top, you got the Sea of Galilee up there around the church covenant. You got the Sea of Galilee. Then you got the Jordan River that runs all the way down the middle. And then down here, you got the Dead Sea at the bottom, the Salt Sea, the Dead Sea. Is somebody looking at their Bible maps right now? Look at them Bible maps of the Salt Sea. This is just something that I seen here a while back. Bless my heart. If you turn your Bible sideways, it's a hand. The Salt Sea's a hand. It'll catch you. It was all the way from Mount Hermon to the Sea of Galilee and empties into the Salt Sea, and the Salt Sea don't dump out. It don't go out nowhere. Well, God will catch you. He'll catch you. But we're in Joshua. And remember, they've come to the area we're talking about. They're right at the top of the Salt Sea, the Dead Sea. They're right at the top of it. And they're on the east side toward China, that side of the river. They're going to cross over toward Jerusalem. They're headed toward the Mediterranean Sea, Jerusalem, in that direction. But they've got to get across the Jordan River, and it's in flood stage. And God said, take the ark and go before you, the presence of the Lord. The ark represents the presence of the Lord, the ark of the covenant. Remember the ark? Anybody know what I'm talking about? The ark was going out in front of them this time. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Remember, it was about, 3,000 feet or so. Joshua, the Lord told Joshua, you tell the people to stay back around 3,000 feet. And the ark and the priest, everybody's going to go ahead. And that way you can see there'll be a space between you. That's what Scripture said there in our last time we looked at. He said, why is that space there? Because you've never been this way before. Imagine if you're following, if you're following close to somebody and they come up on a bluff, then everybody's got to turn around and go back, don't they? So leave space for God to lead the way. Remember when they come out of the wilderness, the Lord said He could have led them straightway. But they'd got afraid when they seen war. So He took them around the long way. Remember that? I believe He's took me around the long way, Heath, a lot of times. Anybody feel like you've been going the long way? Amen. Well, it might be because of somebody's unbelief we're going the wrong way. I mean, let's talk about it. Remember that? 12 out of the whole company come back and said, we're like grasshoppers. We don't stand a chance over there. Moses, and remember Moses sent out the spies, and they come back, and 10 with a bad report, and except for Joshua and Caleb. They said, they're food for us. God's give us a land. Let's go. Nah, the crowd, the majority said, oh no, we can't go. God said, okay, turn around and head back. And they were 38 years. All them children born. Think about all the children born in the wilderness. Now, we're still in Joshua here. All the children that was born in the wilderness had not been circumcised. And before they crossed the Red Sea, the Lord says, take sharp knives and circumcise the men, the children that have not been circumcised before you go into the promised land. And they did that. And God held the enemy off in chapter 5, I believe it is, while they healed up. In chapter 5, it was getting ready to take Jericho, and Joshua went out to meditate, pray, and the Lord met him and gave him the battle plan. He comes back and gives them the battle plan. What's our battle plan? Preach the gospel. The gospel. That's our message. That's our mission is the gospel. Amen. And in the battle plan, so they come to the Jordan River. They cross on dry ground. Now remember, while they're at the Jordan River, they can see over into the promised land. You can see it far off. I can't literally see heaven, but I know it's there afar off. Amen. I may be in the back of the crowd and I can't see the steps where the priest and the ark's been going, but I can see the steps where they've been. I want to follow the Lord. Amen. So they cross Jordan. They're starting into the promised land, and before entering, before entering the promised land, Canaan. Canaan is not heaven. Canaan, there was giants there. There was wars to be fought. There was people and kings to get rid of. But it was the old saying, the victorious life. Walking by faith.
Amen.
Fighting battles. And we're all doing it, whether we realize it or not. We're all fighting some kind of battle this morning.
That's right.
Right now. We're all in some kind of battle. It's going to be that way the Lord comes. I don't want to discourage you. That ought to encourage you. I mean, if Satan and the world and the flesh is not bothering you, there's something wrong. You're not living for the Lord, or you're not saved either one. Amen. But so before they went into the Canaan land, they had to be circumcised. And for us, that's Colossians 2. It's a circumcision, the Bible says, made without hands. On putting off the sins of the body of the flesh and put on that new man. So we've got a new man now. I could not live Christian life, as the saying go. I could not be a Christian until I got saved. But a lot of them out there pretending to me, but I couldn't do it till I got born again.
Amen.
And why? Because I had nothing. I was a dead man. But God moved in, put life in there, gave me new direction, new desires, a new leading. I mean, I love things I didn't love.
Amen.
Amen. And so before they cross in, God gives them a Joshua, a Savior. I'm glad we got a Savior we'd never get in. No man cometh to the Father but by me, Jesus said.
Amen.
Remember that? So before they go in, he puts a Jordan before them. Now, in the past, the church has done things. In the years past, sometimes you met resistance. Sometimes you did not. We met resistance. I say we, the church, not me, it's the church. Got a call this week from the sign people working on getting numbers together for the sign. And the city of Harriman told them they don't know if they'll allow a message board sign down here or not. I believe the Lord's able to do all things myself. He gave us the property, amen. But anyway, he puts a Jordan before him, an obstacle. And the only way to get over that obstacle is by faith. Can you imagine being there that day? And the priest is bearing the ark, and they're going on. There's the water. There's the river, not an ocean, a river. And there they are. And when they put that first step in there, the water rolled back. And it was on dry ground. It don't say nothing about east wind or nothing. But it does say God held it back all the way to Adam. I'm glad when God gets Robert out of the way, or he can use him. They walked over on dry ground. Amen. You know the story. And so they get over there. Now they're in the promised land. They're in the Canaan land. They're where God wants them to be. They've been walking that way for a long time. And now they're where the Lord wants them to be. You're where the Lord wants you to be?
Amen.
He gives them a Jordan. And then he gives them a Jericho in front of them. Chapter 6. Chapter 2 and chapter 6. He puts a Jericho in front of them. A cursed place. The world. But one thing I saw in this that had not seen before, Jericho, your Bible says, was straightly shut up. Chapter 6 and verse 1, it was shut up. Nobody's going in or out. It's a walled city. There's no movement outside the city. The children of Israel have not got there yet, but they're on their way. And the thing is, God said, destroy it.
Amen.
Now, a lot of times in our life, things that needs to go, when God said it's got to go, we'll try to appease that. We'll work around that. Now, I was saying last time, if it's not bothering you, why don't just go on by and leave them alone? Just go on by. Because they would have come out and caused trouble later. But the main thing is, God said destroy it. You know the walls fell down flat. They walked in, took the city, burned it. You know the story. All right, that Jericho. God's put Jerichos in their lives too. Remember, Jesus entered into Jericho and passed through? I don't want to be hanging out in a cursed place too long. Do you? Anyway, God put a Jericho, and then judgment came in chapter number 7. Sin of Achan, who's trying to hide. Now, the Bible said, the Lord said there in chapter number 6, God said, don't. Take in verse number 18, look what it said, chapter 6, verse 18. And ye in any wise keep yourselves from the accursed thing, lest you make yourselves accursed when you take of the accursed thing, and make the camp of Israel a curse, and trouble it. All right, look at chapter 7 in verse 1. But the children of Israel committed a trespass in the accursed thing for Achan. God was holding the whole church accountable for one person's sin. The whole church is suffering because of one person's troubling. The accursed thing in chapter 7 in verse 1. And it said, for Achan the son of Carmi. And it comes on down here and took the accursed thing again. And the anger of the Lord was kindled against the children of Israel. Joshua sent men from Jericho to Ai, which is beside Bethaven, and on the east side of Bethel, and spake unto them, saying, go up, view the country. And the men went up, viewed Ai, and they returned Joshua and said unto him, let not all the people go up, but let about 2,000 or 3,000 men go up and smite Ai, make all the people labor there, but they are few. So there went up there of the people about 3,000 men, and they fled. They fled before the men of Ai. Then you come down here, or chapter 7, verse 7. 7:7, there it is. And Joshua said, alas, O Lord God. Now here he is praying, and the elders. Everybody's praying. We've lost 36 men, 36 funerals now to attend, because we didn't ask the Lord about it. We took somebody else's word over the Lord's word. Isn't that what they done? Remember last time I mentioned there was 12,000 men in Ai. That's what your Bible said. 12,000 men in Ai. And Israel sends 3,000 out, 4-1 odds. Remember that? I guarantee you, whatever you're doing, there's something against you. It's either Jericho or Ai, it's against you.
Amen.
Jericho's the world, Ai's the flesh. Oh, that's just a good representation of Ai. It don't look like much, but boy, it raises up. Now listen, before entering Canaan, here we go. Number one, we got to have a new watch. What do you mean a new watch? The ark was in front of them. Just keep looking ahead. Keep looking forward. Don't look back. Remember what Jesus said about a man plowing? And if he looks back, he's going to get in trouble. Why, run into a root or a rock or you know, or the roads are crooked and all that stuff. But anyway, there's a new watch. The Bible said not only looking for Jesus, but he said looking for that blessed hope. And he said in Hebrews 9, and unto him, what is it? The second time he shall appear without sin unto salvation. We're looking for. Are you looking for him this morning? I look for him every day, Brother Mike. I'm looking for him, Miss Linda, every day. No matter what you're doing, it should be on your heart. A new watch. Not only that, a new watch, but a new walk. They're circumcised now, as Colossians 2 talks about. And in 1 John, where Brother Ernie was at this morning, said in chapter 2, we do those things that are pleasing in His sight. Now I know, because we've been together for a while, I know what buttons to push with Miss Sherry. Just like y'all do with your friends and your wife or husband or whatever. So why do I want to push them buttons? You know who pushes them buttons most of the time? The old flesh, Robert. Robert. His mouth overload. I believe God gave us 2 ears and 1 mouth. There's something in that, you know what? But a new walk. I've been in a new walk since I've been saved.
Amen.
Sometimes I didn't know where my path was going, but I know it was on the right path. I use that old example of when they was working on the road up there. Lord, they had detours and rough and at dark. You couldn't hardly see the way to get by. But I know it was on the right road.
Amen.
I know it was on the way home. It may detour here and there, but I know I'm on the right road.
Amen.
Boy, I'm glad I'm on the right road this morning. And a new walk. And I know where this walk's leading me. Glory. Brother Lonnie Jones, you say, I don't know how I'm going to land, but I know I'm going to get there.
Amen.
Talking about airplanes and stuff like that. Not only a new walk, but now there's a new warfare coming now. A new warfare. Remember, we've come out of the wilderness, Israel. They've come out of the wilderness where God fed them every day. Now they're in Canaan, because for the last 400 years, God has been using those people in Canaan to get that land ready for Israel. That's right. That's what your Bible says.
Right.
Genesis 17. And so there they are. The land's ready and they go into Canaan. And there's more than enough in Canaan. More than enough. And that's the way it is when you're walking with the Lord. There's more than enough. I mean, He's not just enough. He's more than enough. Took care of Moses and them children of Israel going through that wilderness. Millions and thousands. He ain't got no problem taking care of your and my needs. That's right. Amen. A new walk, a new warfare by faith in the Word of God. Remember, that's how they crossed Jordan River. God said, this is what to do. That's how they defeated Jericho, by what God said to do. That's how they defeated Ai after they prayed. God said, this is what you do. Boy, it's important that we're in a new warfare. We don't want to be out there on our own fighting our own battles without the help of our other brothers and sisters. We need help in this warfare. The Bible said in 1 Corinthians, for our weapons of our warfare are not carnal.
That's right.
They're not guns and bows and all those kind of things. Bible said in Ephesians 6, not only do we got a new warfare, but we've got new armor to put on. I never had that before I got saved.
Right.
Never. But I got a new armor now in Ephesians 6. You can look at it. And the last thing that's mentioned is the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. So I'm to use the Word of God as my weapon. The Word of God is living, quick, and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword.
Amen.
Dividing even the soul and spirit, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. It'll reach right down into the joints and marrows. We'll get to that maybe here in a minute. But there's a new walk and a new warfare. In other words, there's a new way now. I've come from the wilderness into the promised land. I've come from barrenness to blessings. I mean, there's more than enough out there.
Amen.
Woo, Lord, even the weather was better in Canaan, so to speak. Yeah, but a new warfare. If you're going to go out there without your armor, you're going to get hurt. If you look in chapter 7 and verse 7, Joshua, when he finds out them men died, he falls on his face to the Lord. And he says the exact words they said 40 years earlier in the wilderness.
Yeah. Yeah.
The exact words. Look in verse 7 there where he said, and Joshua said, O Lord God, wherefore hast thou brought all these people over Jordan to deliver us into the hand of the Amorites? He know better. He know better.
Yeah.
We know better. To deliver into the hand of the Amorites. God's not going to feed us to the world. Look what he said there. To deliver us into the hand of the Amorites, to destroy us. Look at that. Deliver us, destroy us. Would to God that we'd been content and dwelt on the other side of Jordan. That's what they said 40 years before.
Yeah, that's right.
It's hard to get away from self. The only way you can get away from self is that the Spirit be strong in you. Got to bridle that tongue. Sometimes it takes more strength to be quiet. Have there ever been times in your life, been times that God said, just shut up, don't say nothing?
Amen.
I mean, that's what I felt like He said, just be quiet, don't say nothing. Then there's times when the Lord does say something and you don't say nothing. He'll just use somebody else. He'll just go get somebody else. If Robert won't do it, he'll get Kenneth or Sheila he'll get somebody to do it. But that's what He said. Let's go over to Ephesians 6 for a minute. There's a lot of us out there that we know these truths. And in Ephesians 6, yes, it's a familiar passage. I'm afraid that a lot of our Bible has become too familiar to us.
Amen, yes.
He starts out in chapter 6 about children, then the parents, then your employers.
Amen.
Then he comes down to verse 11, and he said, put on half the armor of God. Is that what he said?
No, the whole armor.
The whole armor. Now, of course, you'd have a good picture of a Roman soldier. It'd be good. But he says right down here, he said, look in verse 12, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood. You and I are not to wrestle. Now, that's not a literal term. That means to fight and argue with one another.
Mm-hmm.
We are not to wrestle with flesh and blood. Look at that. But against spiritual things. Look at that. Principalities. That's governments. Against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. He says, put it on, put on. Then he said in verse 13, take unto you the whole armor of God. You've got to have it all the time. The devil does not take a day off. He can shoot them wiles of the devil. He can shoot them arrows and fiery darts. He can shoot them from afar off.
Yes.
And you may not see it coming, but if you got your armor on, you'll stop it. It's real thick leather and bronze and tin they use in those. It seems like here we are in Ephesians 6, and he said, take that armor. And in verse 13, he said, and having done all to stand. Now look, please hear me. God is a God of miracles. He does miracles. That's just part of who he is. But a miracle ain't going to take place till you've done all you can do. You understand what I'm saying? There's all the disciples in the boat. All of them. And they're fearful. The storm's come. And they see Jesus and they think it's a spirit walking on top of the waves. And Peter said, "Lord, if it be you, bid me that I come to you." He said, "Come on." Peter got up out of that boat and walked on the water. Now, they could have sat in the boat, "Lord, please stop this storm." But the Lord was increasing their faith. He had already sent them. He sent them from one side of the lake to the other, so they were going to make it because he sent them. There wasn't enough water in Galilee to sink that boat because the Lord had sent that boat. What are you saying, Brother Robert? There's things that we know to do that we are responsible to do so God will do his part. Think about this. The Bible said God saves whosoever will, don't he?
Amen. Amen.
But that whosoever will must come. You know, it's like that old saying, I don't want to fail of the grace of God. God's got more grace than I can even imagine. I'm telling you, but I don't want to fail him. But I need that armor. I've been hit before and wounded because I didn't have my armor on. If you don't treat that wound, it'll get infected. And then your whole body suffers. But he said, therefore, in verse 14, after you've done all to stand, like this morning, I know it may not sound like it, but I've studied and prepared all week for today. Now, I could have just laid around at the house and done whatever Robert wanted to do, went fishing, went riding, done whatever I wanted to do, and then show up here this morning and expect God to pour it on me.
Yeah.
Can't do that. Because
right.
He said, study. To show yourself
approved
unto God. A workman. It's work. Grandson had his second birthday yesterday. I'm just telling you what happened. We had to be up there at 4:30 and about 2 o'clock. Sherry said, "Rob, I'm going to get ready to go up to Wilder's birthday party. You going?" And about that time, boy, the Lord said, "You need to stay here and study." I wanted to go, Martha. It's my great-grandbaby. Lord said, "Stay here and study, son." I told Sherry, brother, I said, "No, Lord wants me to stay here, Sherry. I'm going to stay here." Boy, and it was good, too. I got some good studying done. But I wanted to be there, too. You know what I'm saying?
Yes.
But this is more important. Because I'm always going to have time to spend with them. You know, understand what I'm saying? But he said right here, having done all to stand, you've got to do what you can to stand. Whatever it is you know to do, pray, pray, and pray. Do what you're supposed to do. Even if it seems wrong, do what's right. And God will honor that. And he said in verse 14, have your loins girt about with truth. That's this right down in here. In other words, that's what carries this body. The truth is what carries this church. The truth is what continues this church. It's the truth that we're interested in, is it not? Because the truth will make you free, praise God. Having your loins girt about with truth and having on the breastplate of righteousness. That breastplate covers all the vital organs. Heart, lungs, liver, kidneys, spleen, stomach, appendix, and all them good things down in there. It protects all of that from arrows going through or spear hitting you and going through. Those vital organs. What did it say? The breastplate of righteousness? How can a man be right with God? Somebody help me. How does a man obtain righteousness?
Through Jesus Christ.
Through believing on the finished work of Jesus Christ, because God said this in His Bible that He imputes, He accounts righteousness to us when we believe on the finished work of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
2 Corinthians 5:21, for God hath made Christ to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him. Whee!
Amen.
It is. Boy, when the Lord first showed me that, Sister Pat, I had a time. You know, because I grew up, and a lot of y'all did, around people where you've got to do something in religion. You're all the time doing something.
That's right.
You know, with some denominations, you got to have 8,000 door knocks and so many converts to come to your church. Or all that. You gotta do something. I'm glad it's already done.
Amen. Yes, sir.
I'm glad it's already done. Amen. But there they are. He said, the breastplate of righteousness, the loins girt about with truth in verse 14. Verse 15, in your feet shod, that means put on, with the preparation of the gospel of peace. There's no peace, saith my God, to the wicked. This man, Mylan, I believe was his last name, preacher. Yeah, it was Mylan. He spoke to this, he went to a big event, upper class people event. And there was this woman there named Charlotte something. I can't remember her last name, but her first name was Charlotte. Awesome singer, opera and everything. And after the show, he comes up to her, this preacher, he comes up to her and he said, Miss Charlotte, you sang so beautifully tonight, so good. Said how much your voice could be used for the cause of Christ. You are a sinner and Jesus Christ died for you. And if you'll confess if you'll just come to Him, He'll save you. She got mad at him, tried to slap him and went home. And she got home and God got to working on her.
Amen.
And that night about 2:30 in the morning, she got up out of bed and wrote this song. Just as I am without one plea, but that thy blood was shed for me. She wrote that song. It's in the book. See, it could be you never know what you might say to someone in the right tone. You're done and going to hell. You ain't going to get saved.
Amen. That ain't going to be.
But hey, if that's what God says to do, do it. But in love. But here we are. He said that breastplate, your feet shod with preparation. Wherever I'm at. What is this? They were saying you shod a horse or whatever. Shod, it means put shoes on, right? Somebody help me here. Shod, does that mean putting shoes on a horse?
Yeah.
All right, before you put them shoes on, don't you have to take something and scrape that hoof off or clean that hoof off?
Yeah.
Huh? What happens if you don't do that? Somebody help me. Nails will come out, is that right, Bud Billy? Horse get infected or something? But it's not comfortable for the horse, is it? Flat on the horse hoof, and the nails go in. Rasp it down. That's what I'm getting to, is rasping that part down before the shoe goes on.
Yeah.
I've got to know in my heart, before that gospel of peace, before I can declare it, it's got to be put on in there.
Amen.
You understand what I'm saying? I put my shoes just like you did. I put my shoes on this morning, and if I don't time, they might come off. I've got to make sure they're on there. Well, I've got to make sure and know beyond a shadow of a doubt that gospel's in there before I can share it out here. A lot of preachers, a lot of people trying to share something they don't know. I was down to Spartanburg, heard two or three young preachers preaching something that they had never experienced before. A little good message. But folks are trying to talk about things they've not experienced before. I tell you what, Joshua knows what he's talking about. Paul knows what he's talking about. Paul did that fighting with the devil and he said, you need that shield of faith. You need that shot. Well, I ain't got the shield of faith. And above all, verse 16, taking the shield of faith, wherewith you shall be able to quench some...
All
the fiery darts of the wicked, and take the helmet of salvation, the helmet that protects the head, right? And the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Boy, I tell you, this right here there's a war going on between these two ears right here.
Amen.
I don't know how anything go on up there, but it is. There's a war goes on up here. Brother Mike asked me, did you have a good week, Pastor? And I said, boys, it's difficult. It's a spiritual battle all week. Spiritual battle. I'm glad I'm here this morning, though.
Amen.
Because God just got to keep on walking. Just keep breathing.
Amen.
Just keep on walking.
Right.
Where are you going, Abraham? I don't know. I'm just following the Lord. He probably seemed like a lunatic to a lot of people, didn't he? Put on that, your feet shod with the gospel of peace. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. And here's one. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. And watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for how many? All saints. The Red Sea, they're going a new way, the wilderness to the promised land. For us, we went from under law, now we're under grace.
Amen.
The promised land is where Jesus will use us. Notice in the wilderness, they didn't do hardly any battles. Well, Abraham did, but in the wilderness, Moses and them, they wasn't all the time fighting everybody. They were just trying to stay together. to the getting of the promised land. It's important that you're together, not only for yourself, but your mate and your family. Not only are we to be unity. Unity is very important. Because when they went into the promised land, it was going to take all of them working together to get the job done. Joshua couldn't do it by himself. It took all of them working together. All of them with their armor on. Notice, they're going a new way now. And they're going to a new world, a new land. The Red Sea 40 years earlier. The wilderness, the Lord provided. Jordan, circumcised by faith. Enter the land, walk in the new life. Jericho, a cursed place with a believer, but there's somebody there that needed rescuing. Somebody tell me who that was. Rahab. She was in a cursed city, but she believed God.
That's right.
And she needed rescuing. And Joshua sent two men in and got her out of there. Amen. Praise God. There's people out here. Jericho, a cursed place. Ai, small city, little things. The flesh of man. Those old Adam's nature. But thank God we have Joshua, a Savior. Not only a Savior, but a shepherd to lead us and guide us in this new way, in this new land. Lord have mercy. There is no excuse. Now hear me, I'm quitting right now. There is no excuse for us to fail. Thank you for your attention.